Hello and welcome into this week's edition of the Rookie Stripes podcast here on Racing News Now. I'm Garth. That's Tyler. Hello, hello. How we doing today?
I still hate Phoenix a lot.
Don't we all?
Yeah, well, apparently not everybody, because NASCAR seems to like it enough to have the season finale there for the past however many years. But no, I still hate it.
I think NASCAR is the only one. I don't think I've seen one positive thing said about this race at all. Not a single one.
Phoenix hasn't been good since they took the bridge out over turn four.
The bridge out over turn four.
Yeah, they had like one of the pedestrian walkway things over turn four.
Are you talking the current turn two?
Sure. I don't know. There's three turns on that track and it's one, two, three, four. So,
well, one of them is a dog leg and isn't considered a turn.
Does the wheel turn? Do they turn the wheel when they go through there?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to if you straighten out the dog leg now that everybody can go nine wide.
That's a good point. I still think they should make it so that you can't go onto the apron until after you pass start-finish line.
They want to act like that's the most exciting thing ever, and I think it takes more away from the race than it adds to it. Like, I mean, they fan out on restarts. And then they never do it again for the rest of the race unless they're trying to make a move at the end of the race. Like, that's the only other time you see them even attempt to cut the dog leg outside of a restart.
It kind of looked like they were doing a lot more than normal this weekend, but I don't know. I still think it's stupid, and I mean, why? There's not really any point to have that in the track.
I'll put it this way. I commend NASCAR for trying something, or I guess at the time it might have been ISC. I don't remember if NASCAR had fully bought out ISC at that point or not, but I commend NASCAR or ISC or whoever for trying something new. It doesn't work, though. So can we go back to the old version or try something else new with this track? Because this isn't working. Nobody likes this. Nobody wants to see this. I fell asleep during all three races this weekend. I mean, granted, ARCA is usually a snooze fest at this point, especially when William Sawalich runs away with everything, but every single race was not worth watching this weekend.
I could have told you that going into the week, because I'm pretty sure I did, because it's Phoenix.
You did.
Phoenix is terrible.
Like, the sad part about it is, Jeddah was more exciting than any Phoenix race.
I'm glad we moved the start-finish line to the other side of the track.
Oh, yeah, because that made so much of a difference. It really changed the racing at Phoenix. Didn't even move it all the way around the track. Literally moved it to the exit of what used to be turn two. Didn't even put it like in the middle of the backstretch. Just, no, we're going to move it just to the exit of turn two. Okay. What are we trying to be Talladega here with our off-center start-finish line?
I know, the whole track is off-center. That track wasn't even good for IndyCar at the end of IndyCar being there. And if there's an oval that doesn't have good IndyCar racing, NASCAR's going to be terrible.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't get the point anymore. I really don't. Like, at this point, I'd be open to turning Phoenix into a Roval. Do you remember
there was a Roval course at Phoenix.
Huh?
There was a Roval course at Phoenix.
Was there? Is there still?
I don't know if there is still, but I know IndyCar used to race it.
Okay, so on the EA NASCAR games, there was a road course version of Phoenix. I don't think it was the real Roval, because once you came out of what's now turn four, just past where the start-finish line is now, you would hang a right and go outside the track. And then there would be like a left to come back in. And then there'd be like a little loop-de-doo down through what's now one and two. And then back out around turn two onto what's now the backstretch. I don't think that was the Roval, though, because I don't think they were taking out chunks of the outside wall to accommodate that.
They might have. I mean, they've got the swinging door at Bristol.
Right, but that's not for making a different part of the racetrack. That was for just entering and exiting the track. And I don't think that gate is there anymore. Pretty sure they took that out for safety reasons after Michael Waltrip almost died. Unalived himself.
Unalived himself. Okay, so there is still, or there was still one on the inside of the track.
But as of when?
Before NASCAR reconfigured it. But oh. I think that is now gone.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I do see, like, a map of an outside course. I don't know if this is, like, a proposed thing or what.
It might be the video game track.
Maybe, but it's on, like, some racing circuits, like, official type-looking thing.
Hmm. Does it go outside the track just past where the start-finish line is now? Does it hang a right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes down to like a 90-degree corner to come back down just before turn one?
Yeah.
And then goes into the infield?
Yep.
Okay, that was the video game track. I don't know if it was ever real, but I have a feeling it wasn't.
I also kind of feel like it probably wasn't, but I found like multiple track diagrams of it that aren't related to a video game.
Hmm. Does anybody know? Let us know in the chat or down in the comments. Was that version of Phoenix ever a thing? I don't think it was, but I've been wrong before. And believe me, people have let me know.
Ah, it was until 1990.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. 1964 to 1990 had a 2.7-mile road course.
Huh. That's interesting. Wait, a 2.7 mile?
2.7.
It wasn't that long in the game.
No, it is a NASCAR game, so.
That's true. I mean, EA were the best games, and that's a low bar. Because after having played back through the EA games, the physics in those games are awful. They are atrocious. Like, I'd rather go to Utechnics physics.
Texas. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, it had the outside road course and IndyCar, well, I guess USAC raced on that.
So it's kind of like the IRP road course that used to exist.
Yeah.
Because didn't that use part of the oval too? Or no, it didn't.
I don't know.
I don't think it did. There was a stretch of it that ran down right along the back stretch of the oval, but I don't think it ever actually connected into the oval. Like part of the tracks part of the roads you use to drive around IRP now are part of that road course. In fact, it all might still be there.
It looks like the track flattened out, like the oval track flattened out right before the dog leg where the start finish line is now. Mm-hmm. And then they just opened the wall up. And it went like straight back the other direction right there and then came back in at the dog leg.
Okay, yeah, that's not the video game version then. Because literally all it did in the video game was you would, instead of fully, you wouldn't finish turn two. You would end up, you would get to basically the exit of turn two and just go straight instead of like angled down toward the dog leg. And then you'd go, half mile, and then there'd be a 90-degree to come back, and you came back in. I think you came back in just past the dog leg. I think.
I don't know. I feel like I raced that game, though.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I had an IndyCar game that had this track layout, so I don't know.
It's possible. Wasn't there a... It's like a history of the Indy 500 game at some point or something. Didn't that come out in like 03 or 04? I don't think that was the title, but it was something like that.
I think
Legends of the 500 or something.
I had like IndyCar 2001 or something that was like the last IndyCar sponsored game.
No, there was an IndyCar game in like 07 or 08, I thought. I don't think I've ever played it, but I'm pretty sure I saw that it existed. Because it would have been IRL, I think, at that time, wouldn't it? It was like IRL 07 or 08 or something.
The game I have is IndyCar Series, came out in 2003.
Is that a papyrus game? That sounds like a papyrus game.
It's a Codemasters game.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Cody's made some IndyCar games.
Then there was another Cody's game for IndyCar in 2000.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Indy 500 Evolution is the Indy 500 one you were thinking of. That's
it, yep.
And then there's IndyCar Racing from Papyrus in 93.
Who did the 05 game?
Codemasters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then there's the Motorsport Games one that will never happen.
Nope, not at this point. That has already been scrapped.
Yup.
Which is sad because I heard it was close to finished. Like, it was going to be very bare bones. It wasn't even going to have a career mode. It was literally just going to be, like, single-player racing, online, and maybe a season mode? Maybe there was an online. No, I think there was online. I think that's all it was.
There probably was an online because people can't live without online gameplay these days, which right. I would rather just give me an IndyCar game that is single player with a career mode.
And a good career mode. Yeah,
I'm happy. Way. I don't need the online stuff.
Well, the good thing is I did see a few weeks ago, iRacing, who now has the IndyCar license back, said that they don't have any immediate plans for an IndyCar game. They are focusing on the NASCAR game right now, but they didn't rule it out in the future. So,
iRacing is making a NASCAR game?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that. I know they did like the World Outlaws thing.
Yeah, they got the NASCAR contract from Motorsport Games, and they're going to release it next year is the timeline. I hope it's around the Daytona 500 and it's not in like September, October, like it has been in the past, but they are building it from the ground up. Well, no, they're not building it from the ground up. They're using the base game from the Heat games. They're using the physics model from the Heat games, but they are porting that into Unreal Engine for better graphics.
The physics in that game kind of sucked.
Heat 4 physics were pretty good, and they were going in the right direction.
What was the most recent one that they made? Like Heat 5? Okay, which that one was unplayable.
Well, so the problem with Heat 5 was Heat 5, by that point, Motorsport Games had already bought 704 games. So there was literally nothing done to Heat 4. It was just a rebadged Heat 4 with new rosters and new schedule, and they didn't fix any bugs or anything. So it was literally Heat 4, but worse.
Ah, yeah, that's pretty much how it played, too.
Yeah. No, Heat 4 was the pinnacle of the Heat series. It did not get any better than that, and it's been downhill since.
Those were okay. Like, the AI was terrible in those.
No, I thought the AI was really good. It was some of the best AI, best AI since the EA games. And the EA games were iffy. Like, they were good. Yeah. The AI was good for its time, but it wasn't great AI.
Right. I load up Heat 4 and go to Bristol and just blow the doors off everybody. I've got the whole field lapped by, like, lap 30.
What difficulty did you have it on?
Max.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Then you must be a prodigy.
I guess. I don't know.
Literally, outside of, like, the esports players, I have not known of anyone being able to lap the field at Bristol on the highest difficulty in 30 laps in that game.
I don't know. Every time I have to go in for a pit stop, I've already lapped everybody.
If this is true, you need to sign up for NASCAR esports.
Yeah, right.
You will make a killing. There's Move absolutely over, no way. Now, granted, Bristol wasn't one of the harder tracks in Heat 4 because I feel like I won at Bristol a lot too, but having the field lapped in 30 laps, that's pretty quick.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't have it on the highest difficulty and I'm an idiot. But
yeah, I don't think you did.
I feel like I did. I don't know.
I don't think you did. There's no way.
Oh, well.
Do you remember what number you had the AI set on?
No, I haven't played that thing in like 2 years.
Okay. It went up to like 105, I think.
That is what I had it on, because that number sounds very familiar.
Okay. So you hear that? Tyler is an esports prodigy, and whenever iRacing and Monster Games bring that back with the new game, we're going to sign Tyler up for NASCAR esports.
Yeah, right.
We need to get you an iRacing account.
I want to get iRacing really bad. I just don't have money for the setup.
Yeah.
Or like the PC or any of it.
You make the big bucks up there at your new job. You'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. They got to get a house and a new car and all that.
Take it from me, the house should not be a priority. Definitely should not be a priority. Get your finances in line first, then go for the house.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like living in apartments anymore.
If you learn anything from this old man, do not rush into buying a house. Buying a house is great if you are in a financial position for it. But don't rush into it just because the bank will give you the money and a low down payment. It probably will not work out well.
No,
that because maybe you can make the payments, but then there's everything else that pops up.
That you're sound like somebody for. That's speaking from experience.
No, never.
What's broken
not
now?
Not for much longer.
Are you already selling your house?
I literally listed it today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And had an apartment tour. So,
Welcome back to the world of renting.
Yeah. You know, for my financial situation, it's better right now. Like I can afford the house itself. I'm just tired of the extra little things because I'm trying to be debt free, and that is slowing down my process to getting debt free.
Yeah. It would do that.
Yeah. So what I have found after much thought is that paying a little bit less in rent every month compared to what I'm paying in my mortgage with some utilities included in that. So it saves me a little bit more money, gives me more money to throw up my debt every month and get out of debt quicker. And then once I'm in a better financial position, then get back into a house.
By debt, he means Lionel diecast pre-orders.
No, actually surprisingly not. Well, I mean, I guess that is probably part of the credit card debt, but no, that's definitely not all of it. Not even close.
I guess we should probably talk about NASCAR at some point today.
NASCAR? Who comes to this podcast for NASCAR?
Well, we did race at Phoenix, so there's not a whole lot to talk about.
There's literally nothing to talk about. We had three races, and they all put me to sleep. ARCA, William Sawalich won on a lightning shortened race. What a shock. William Sawalich won. Although, Gio Ruggiero was fast. I was a little surprised by that. So maybe we'll see some stuff out of Gio Ruggiero this season. I mean, it's the 20 car, so you expect it to be fast. But the guy really didn't have any ARCA experience, so I didn't expect him to come out and compete with William Sawalich, even though he was in the car that has been competing with that 18. But I was surprised by that. So who knows what we're going to see out of Mr. Ruggiero for the rest of the season. That's it for ARCA, though. I have nothing else to say for ARCA. Absolutely nothing. Like, it was Phoenix. It was ARCA at Phoenix. So Wallach wins, Ruggiero's fast, and it was shortened by lightning. That's it.
It's really all you need to know at this point.
It really is. Like, there was literally, outside of the fact that we sent three cars home for the first time at Phoenix in probably close to 10 years. I haven't looked back through it. I think I saw a stat that 2017 was the last time we had a full field that we sent cars home in an ARCA race outside of Daytona and Talladega. I think that was the stat I saw. Do not quote me on that, but I think that's what's coming up in my head.
You've already been quoted on that.
Yeah, probably. Canceled.
I was looking really, really good on my pick for this week.
You were.
Until like the last five laps and he blew a tire.
And the funny thing is, you still outpointed me.
Yeah.
You didn't take the Xfinity lead because after Sheldon really did you dirty last week, you're still in a hole, but little bit less of a hole now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just surprised some over 100 points.
Speaking of which, hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We got to look at our ARCA picks and look at our points now. Tyler slightly digs himself out of his hole that SVG put him in Daytona, but is still 17 points off of me after this race. It helped Tyler that LeVar Scott did not have a great race and finished in 10th. So gained, what is that, 15 points on me. So Tyler's getting there, but he's still got a little ways to go. He's got 17 points to catch up. Okay, now back to Xfinity. Back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, Allgaier was doing really well at the end until he popped a tire, went straight in the wall, which let Chandler Smith win. I didn't see that one coming. Fair enough. Good job, Chandler Smith. Wouldn't have happened if Allgaier had three or four tires at the end of the race.
Chandler has been surprisingly fast to start the season. He's been faster in a JGR car than he was in a colleague car last year.
I can't say I'm surprised by that at all, honestly.
I mean, I kind of am, because before last year, colleague was really starting to be a powerhouse in Xfinity, and I'm almost wondering if they're not stretching themselves a little too thin trying to get into the cup market as well. So yeah, it's hurting the Xfinity program. And
I kind of figured that would happen. And like, I feel like colleague is what Junior Motorsports would have been if Junior took the team to the cup level a couple years ago. Like, they've been laying low in Xfinity, then got really good in Xfinity, then just stayed there. And they've been one of the top forces in the Xfinity series with Joe Gibbs and a couple other guys coming and going. But colleague got really good at Xfinity, then moved into cup and tried to use a lot of the same people in both. And yeah, I think they stretched themselves a little bit further than they can handle.
I think part of it also might be who they're hiring. I mean, outside of AJ Allmendinger, I'm probably going to get some hate for this, but outside of Allmendinger, I don't know that they really have anybody that can do anything for them right now in cup or Xfinity. I mean, sure, you've got Allmendinger back full-time in Xfinity in the 16 car. He's not done a lot to start this season, so I'm a little worried by that. You got Josh Williams in the 11, which Josh Williams has not set the world on fire to start this season. Everybody kept being like, oh, Josh Williams, he's going to do great when he gets in a good car. He hasn't through the first four races. I know it's only four races, but it's not been a good start for Josh Williams. So I'm wondering if he may not be as good as people think he is. I would love for him to prove me wrong on that, but I'm starting to wonder. And they've scaled back to two cars in Xfinity. They had three cars, and they've scaled back to two now. So the 10 car, at least full time, is no longer a thing. I don't know if the 10 car is going to show up anymore this year, but it was only the 16 and the 11 this week. And then in Cup, you've got Daniel Hemric full time, the man that has consistently underwhelmed his entire career and is only a champion in the Xfinity series strictly off of consistency, and somehow winning at Phoenix, his only career win at any level of NASCAR, winning that race to win the championship. Outside of that, his entire career has been nothing but mediocre consistency. So I don't see that going well for them in the Cup Series with him, because his first foray into the Cup Series was not good with RCR.
Nope.
And then you've got the 16 car rotating out with different drivers recently. Been Derek Krause in his first Cup starts, which I like Derek Krause. I think Derek Krause has got talent. I don't think he's ready for Cup yet, though.
No.
And that's not a car he's going to do a whole lot in anyway, because the colleague has still been good in the Xfinity series compared to how they've been in the Cup series. The Cup cars are not there. So yeah, I don't see Derek Krause doing anything in that car. I think it's good he's getting Cup experience, but I think he's being thrown into the deep end and it's not going to go well.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they should have kept 3 or maybe a 4th Xfinity car for like people like Derek Krause, like people that they're trying to get into their, you know, get into their bank and get them some experience. Then you could have Daniel Hemric, Derek Krause, Josh Williams, and then maybe Allmendinger in the 4th car, or maybe somebody different, and keep Allmendinger in Cup. I love Justin Haley. I think he's a great guy. He's got a race win in a rain shortened race. He's not
alcoholic anymore.
Right. He's not there anymore. And I don't really think that they've got anybody other than Allmendinger, like you said, that's going to do anything to help the team.
The thing with Allmendinger is I don't think he wanted to be in Cup anymore. I think that was his choice to go back to Xfinity. He had been very much enjoying the Xfinity lifestyle with Colleague. He likes being at Colleague. He fits in there very well, but he wanted to be in Xfinity. He went to Cup full-time as a favor to them to kind of help them get that Cup program off the ground. And I think after, is it one or two full seasons he ran in that 16? I think it was only one, wasn't it?
No, it was
in the Cup series.
Yeah, because he didn't race the full season the last year of the Gen 6 car.
But he did. He was full-time in 22?
Yes.
Okay, so two full seasons, got the Colleague Cup program off the ground, and at this point, I think he's like, nope, I'm done with Cup. I'll do it sporadically, the races I want to race, but I'm going back to Xfinity. So I don't think they could pay him enough to get him back in Cup full-time at this point.
Yeah, I don't understand why smaller and up-and-coming teams do this thing where they have different drivers race different tracks for their cars.
Money.
I get that it's money, but you're not helping the team at all having different drivers in there week in, week out.
I mean, it depends on who those drivers are. Derek Krause, no, I don't think that's helping them really at all. Nothing against Derek Krause. Like I said, I like Derek Krause. I think he has talent. But as someone that had never been in a Cup car before last week, I don't see that helping that program. Now, if you put Allmendinger in there for a few races, Hemric, I could see being a help since he's been around for a while. Put somebody like, I don't know, somebody that doesn't want to run full time, or just somebody that's had experience in Cup that either doesn't want to run full-time or doesn't have a full-time offer anywhere else, put them in there for a few races. Somebody with experience, if you rotate through a few of those guys, that's why you see a lot of these all-star cars in Xfinity and trucks with Cup guys floating in and out or experienced Xfinity and truck guys. That is specifically the reason Kyle Busch is in the Spire truck this year. Or at least the public reason that he has said, because he is helping them gauge where their equipment is. And if he's able to go out and win in that truck, that tells them the equipment is there, that it's not an equipment issue. But if he can't go out and win, then they've got equipment issues, and he can help them figure out where they need to be. So that can help even in a Cup car. But you've got to get the right drivers in there for that.
Yeah, I feel like Colleague would have done better starting their Cup program with somebody like a Matt Kenseth at the end of his career. He's got the experience, knows how to set up a car, still wanted to race at the end of his career, got taken by Ganassi for a couple years. And
I don't think he wanted to anymore after the Ganassi stint. I think he was done at that point.
Not after Ganassi, but I'm saying like before he went to Ganassi when he didn't have a ride.
That would have been a good,
probably.
I don't think Colleague was ready for Cup yet.
Probably not, but that still would have been a good opportunity if they were ready.
Yeah. No, I agree. And Newman's still floating around. Newman ran some races for Rick Ware last year, so,
yeah.
I mean, hypothetically, you could get Newman in the car, and he's a good enough driver that could definitely tell you where your equipment's at, depending on where he's running. I mean,
like
he ran
those Rick Ware cars
mid-20s.
Yeah.
Which is very good for a Rick Ware car.
Yeah. Or like a Greg Biffle or something. Just somebody that has experience, knows how to set up a car, and can relay that information to the team. Because there's a big difference between somebody that drives the car and is like, oh, yeah, it's great. Well, okay. Versus somebody that has experience like a Kenseth or a Newman or a Biffle that can help set up the car to what other people would need. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't feel like they're moving anything by having Hemric in the Cup Series. I just don't think that like having Hemric in the Cup Series is helping this team move forward at all. He kind of got spanked around by Austin Dillon at RCR, and you know what I think about Austin Dillon. So
I don't know that Hemric is the worst option. I mean, he's at least got experience. Does he have experience running up front in the Cup Series? No, but he's got experience in a Cup car, even though it was prior to the next gen. He's got plenty of experience in Xfinity. He's got years behind him where, at the very least, he can tell you what he needs out of the car and maybe where the car is lacking. Now, that's not as good as having, say, Newman or Kyle Busch or whoever in that car, but I don't think it's the worst option, especially in terms of options that were available. I definitely think there were worse options they could have put in there.
See, honestly, I don't think that having Cup experience pre-next gen is really even important anymore with how different this car is and how differently it races. I mean, you've got guys like Newman and Biffle trying to come in, and it's a completely different car. You might as well throw that book out the back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's not even a lot of similarities between the Xfinity car and the Cup car anymore, because really for a while the Xfinity car was just a lower downforce Cup car with a little bit of a different aero package most of the time. But now they're two completely different cars.
Right. No, I absolutely agree. I don't know if having Cup experience pre-next gen is completely useless at this point, but I do agree that it's not as useful as it probably should be. But I think any kind of experience at that level is something that can be helpful and can give a driver a leg up in that situation versus somebody. I keep going back to Derek Krause, and I hate to dog on Derek Krause, but gives Daniel Hemric at least a leg up on somebody like Daniel Krause, who has never been in a Cup car prior to last week at Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, having like the longer tire and fuel stints, I mean, knowing how to save the car for longer in the race, that stuff, yeah. But actually setting up the car and driving it, I don't really think that having previous Cup experience does anything for you there.
I think you might be surprised. I mean, I think you're right to an extent, but I think there's probably more usefulness in experience, previous experience, than what you think there is right now.
Probably, but that's why I'm sitting here talking to you and not driving the car.
That's true.
One of the many reasons, we'll say that.
Well, but I thought you were a prodigy on the video games.
Yeah, on the video game. It's like when I played the video game as a kid and my parents were like, oh, you need to do driving lessons. I'm like, I don't need driving lessons. I can drive a race car.
Hey, that's where William Byron came from. I mean, I think you've missed your shot at that, but
I did miss my shot. If only I had a lot more money and a simulator as a kid.
Yeah, right.
And some friends in high places.
Yeah, right. I think that's about it for Xfinity, though. Again, not too much to talk about there. Good run for SVG in the top 10. Came home in the sixth position, so good run for SVG. Congrats to Chandler on that win. I have slightly lost my lead to Tyler in Xfinity, but it's still a very big lead after Sheldon Creed's abysmal showing last week at Vegas. Neither one of us did great this week. Byron did not have a good race. Allgaier had a good race until he didn't.
I was going to win until I didn't.
But stage points saved you, because you come away chipping 11 points out of my lead, even though Byron finished 23rd and Allgaier, after the flat tire, finished 29th. So you still chip 11 points off there. I mean, I still have a 37-point lead, which is still a lot, but it's dwindling. So we'll see how, or I guess Coda, they don't have Bristol this weekend. We'll see how Coda goes with that. On to the Cup Series. Again, not a lot to talk about. Christopher Bell wins. Truex was fast, drove his way back through the field on fresher tires late in the race, unlapped himself, and got all the way back into the top 10 up to 7th. So if there had been a caution, Truex absolutely wins that race.
Yeah, I mean, there are only two takeaways I really had from the Cup race this week. One was Chevy was nowhere at the end of this race. I think there's only one in the top 10 with Chastain, or maybe like 12th or something, but all of the Hendrick cars were outside top 10. Not a good race for Chevy, and I think this is probably one of the first races where the aero package that they have now isn't much of a factor, so the Ford and Toyotas that have the new packages didn't really have that obstacle to work around here. And I don't know, maybe that could have helped them a little bit. Another thing I wanted to point out, Roush Fenway Keselowski, 2nd and 4th. Both their cars in the top 5.
I would like to point out that I picked Buescher last week and he was on a wrecker by lap 30. Yet the next week comes back and finishes 2nd.
Usually how it goes.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, we just need to not pick RFK drivers this year, because I picked Keselowski for the 500 and he wrecked, and then you picked Buescher and he wrecked.
Yeah, it has not been a good year for our picks if we're picking RFK. That's about all I got for Cup.
It's Phoenix.
Well, yeah, that is true. Defending champion Ryan Blaney leads the points leaving here. That's something.
Too bad that doesn't matter unless you don't get a win.
No, but he still could win the regular season championship, which could play a factor.
Yeah.
Our picks for this week. Tyler had a lead after last week and then basically did what I did last week. Logano wrecked early. Netted only 3 points in this race. Larson didn't have a good race either. Came home in 14th, but gives me 20 additional points, which puts me back into a 6-point lead, leaving Phoenix. So how'd your picks do this week from Phoenix? Are you doing better than us, worse than us, right on par? As usual, you're probably doing better than us, but I'd love to hear how you did this week. All right, Tyler is running short on time here, so we got to get through our open wheel stuff and picks here kind of quickly. So, Tyler, what you got for open wheel this week?
Newgarden got the pole for St. Pete and kind of ran away with the race, led almost the entire race except for pit stop sequences. Interestingly, he kind of talked before the race about some of the stuff he did in the off season to kind of focus himself and the team for this year. Cause although they won the 500 last year, they were kind of mediocre most of the season, still getting top tens and stuff, but not really a championship threat. And they want to turn that around this year. They wanted to focus on qualifying, got the pole for the first race of the season, wanted to focus on race results, won the race. So I think it's nice to see somebody put in the effort over the off season and see it instantly translate first race of the year. The Ganassi rookies had a heck of a time this weekend. Linus Lundqvist and Marcus Armstrong both found the wall during the race and didn't finish. Lundqvist was more because of Grosjean than his own fault. Grosjean kind of sent him into the wall and turned 10, I believe. But Armstrong just tossed himself into the same wall there. So interesting. I know Ganassi doesn't like paying the bills for wreck cars and things like that. So just something to think about as they move on through the rest of the season. That's about it for IndyCar. It was a good race, but not a whole lot specifically to talk about. In F1, you'll be shocked to learn that Max Verstappen won the race by like 8 million miles. Perez finished 2nd.
No way.
But the Haas team scored points.
That is genuinely surprising.
It is actually very surprising.
How about Ollie Bearman?
He finished seventh in his first F1 start, which I guess I need to lower my expectations a little bit because I kind of expected him to come in and like qualify top five with the other Ferrari. And
dude, he's still in high school.
Oh, he is? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw a video today where he got this hero's welcome going back to high school this week. I'm sitting there like, bro's not going to have an ego at all.
Oh, I totally would. No, I mean, fair enough, I guess, if he's still in high school. I just kind of figured that if he was the Ferrari reserve driver or like F2 or whatever he's doing right now, that he would kind of, with the testing that he should be having in that car, be able to kind of hop in and do about the same. But no, I mean, good for him. He started 11th, almost made it to Q3, and finished 7th. So points in Sainz's absence. Good job, probably Bearman. And Sainz, I hope at least gets more
points.
No. He gets, like, Bearman gets the points, but Sainz was gone.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Appendicitis is a bitch, apparently.
Is that what it was? I didn't know why he was out.
Yeah, he had surgery on his appendix to get it removed.
Okay.
Literally the most useless thing in the human body and made him miss a race weekend for it.
Right.
But that's it.
All right. So that is open wheel for this week. Let's take a look at our IndyCar picks. We actually both did fairly well. Tyler comes out with the lead because Pato finished second and old Scooty Mac finished third. So Tyler's got a 5-point lead on me heading into Thermal in a couple weeks.
That's a 9-points paying race, though.
Oh. That sucks.
Yeah. Okay.
So we got, like, well, he's got the lead on me going into Long Beach.
Yeah, because Texas said, screw you guys, and is off the calendar. Yeah.
Yeah. All we've got this weekend is two Bristol races. Literally, Trucks and Cup back on the pavement in the spring at Bristol. That is all we've got. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. Big NBC news that broke. I think it broke today. We already know Dale Jr. is not coming back. I think we talked about that last week, literally right before it came out. That Dale Jr., of course, is going to Amazon. And I think I read that he's also going to be on the TNT broadcast, too.
TNT back? Sweet.
Yes, we've talked about this.
Yeah, we probably did. I just forgot.
They're doing the five races between Amazon and NBC next year. Anyway, so Junior is going over there. The NBC booth is getting more of a shakeup than that. Rick Allen will only be doing play-by-play during the Olympics. Take a guess who's doing play-by-play. I think it's the rest of the time, although the wording made it sound like it wouldn't be for every other race. But either way, at least the majority of the other races, take a guess who's doing play-by-play.
Alan Bestwick.
No.
Damn it. All right.
Somebody that's already on NBC.
Jeff Burton.
No.
Oh, God, who?
Who do you hear every time you watch an IndyCar race?
Lee Diffy?
Yes.
He's done NASCAR before, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done NASCAR, but
he's not bad.
Like, not on a full-time basis. I think it's been the other way around. Like, when they sent Rick Allen to do the Olympics, they'd bring Lee Diffy in. Now it's the other way around. I guess they're
having... Can you imagine watching the Olympics and having to suffer through Rick Allen?
I've seen clips of things that he did during the Olympics, and yeah, it's typical Rick Allen.
It sounds about right. I like Lee Diffy, though. I wish he didn't have so much of the British scream at the beginning of races, but I think he'll be better.
I really don't know. See, because the more I think about this, the more I think about how you complain about the British scream, I really don't know what you want out of a broadcaster, because I think Lee Diffy is one of the best out there right now that's actually doing motorsports. Now, Alan Bestwick's not doing motorsports right now, so I don't count Alan Bestwick in there. So, is he Mike Joy? No. But we need some excitement in the booth, and Lee Diffie brings excitement and is not really over the top with it.
Yeah, I wish we could have the Mike Joy of 20 years ago just do every race that's broadcast on TV ever, or just have Alan Bestwick. I love Alan Bestwick. I've gone to pretty much every race they've had at Indianapolis the past couple of years, and he's been on the PA system for play-by-play of some of the races there. And I don't know. It's really nice to hear Alan Bestwick. I wish he could do pretty much everything. He even did SRX, and that's not going to lie. It's one of the reasons why I was watching SRX.
No, so. I agree. And then they had to stick Danica in the booth with him.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, because we don't know any of the booth for Amazon or any of the rest of the booth for Amazon or TNT besides Junior so far. So maybe we can still hold out hope that he's in one or both of those booths. I mean, I never would have thought it'd be both of those booths, but apparently Junior's going to be in both of them, so maybe he'll be in both. I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like that would be a good fit for Alan Bestwick, because you know Junior's not going to be the play-by-play.
He has done play-by-play for NBC a couple of times.
NBC
likes to move people around and do different things. He did an Xfinity race once or twice as play-by-play, and I think he even did a cup race when they had Rick Allen doing something else. I think it was at New Hampshire.
I like Dale Jr., but even like watching his podcast kind of drives me nuts, because he'll ask a question, and asking the question takes like 14 minutes, and it's like, just let somebody answer the question and just stop talking.
He's having a conversation.
I know, but it's like, you can't ask a question, make a statement, ask four more questions, and expect them to remember the first question.
Okay, fair enough. I see what you're saying there.
I do love Dale Jr., and I like listening to his podcast. It just drives me nuts sometimes when it takes him 6 or 7 minutes to answer, to ask a question.
Right. No, I understand. So, two races on the docket this weekend. Again, just trucks and cup. Picks for the truck race, the WeatherGuard truck race, another race without a mileage number. I'm really not sure about this trend. That'll be Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Tyler, does Christian Eckes win the truck race?
You freaking better, because I'm picking him again this week. All right, look, he dominated this race last year and ended up finishing second to Corey Heim.
Not this race, the fall race.
The fall race, whatever. The only time they've raced at Bristol in a year, it was at... Okay, you get my point. The last two times Truck Series has gone to Bristol, he's got a top 10.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I don't think that's a bad pick. I just think you need to be picking someone else.
You're just mad because you can't pick him.
I wasn't going to pick him this week. In fact, he didn't even cross my mind for this race until I saw you'd already picked him. And I was like, I didn't even remember him doing that well in this race last year. I had to go back and look at that after you said it to even remember that he dominated this race.
Led 150 laps.
He did. I didn't remember it. I'm going to go with Taylor Gray. Taylor Gray finished top five in this race last year, was very fast. He's had a good start to the season. I think Taylor finally breaks out and wins his first race of his career in the Truck Series at Bristol. On to Sunday, the Food City 500. It is so nice being able to say the Food City 500 again and not the Food City Dirt Race.
Ooh.
Food City 500, Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Tyler, who wins the Bristol Day Race?
Well, I'm going to give you my pick, and that's going to be who doesn't win the race, because it's an RFK driver. I'm going Chris Buescher this week.
You know, you literally could have learned from your mistakes, and you haven't.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll do it eventually.
Not when you pick him.
Nope. But he's won this race within the past couple years. The RFK cars seem to be pretty fast here usually. They've had some bad luck so far this year. I think this is the race where Chris Buescher locks himself into the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go with a guy that has started off this season very fast, and he continues to get faster each week. Started off the season 17th at Daytona. Not a great start, but not terrible. Got his first top 10 at Atlanta in 10th. Then got his first top 5 last week at Vegas. And then had one of the fastest cars at Phoenix. Came home in 3rd. I think Ty Gibbs wins his first Cup Series race this weekend, and it comes in the Bristol Day Race. Ty Gibbs will win the Food City 500.
Well, if that happens, we need to go back to the dirt race.
No comment. No comment on that one. All right. Well, Tyler has got to start getting ready for work, so I think that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. Tyler, any final thoughts as we head into Bristol?
I just want IndyCar to come back.
Well, I mean, it's not a points race, but we do have thermal coming up.
I just want IndyCar points racing back.
I mean, technically, it did come back this week. You have no room to complain. We had an IndyCar race this week. You have
gotta wait a month
zero
Texas
room
sucks.
To complain.
Got to wait a month now for another points race because Texas sucks.
Poor baby.
Best racing series in the world. We only have 6 months of it a year.
Hey, got to keep the people asking for more. You don't want to over-dilute it.
They're asking and not getting.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to about do it for this week. Enjoy Bristol this weekend. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place to discuss Bristol and whatever racing is happening next weekend. I don't remember what races will be next week, but we'll figure that out next week. So at that, I'm Garth. That's Tyler. And this has been the Rookie Stripes Podcast on Racing News Now.